All right, then the board's yours, Wonder Boy. Lutze stood back. Mine, but I... Get on with it, that is an order! For a moment, there was a suggestion of blue light around Lobsang. Lutze wondered how much time he'd folded around himself in that second. Time enough to think, certainly. Then the boy called out half a dozen pairs of numbers. Lutze turned to the monks. Jump to it, boys! Mr. Lobsang has the board. You boys just watch those bearings. But he's a novice, one of the monks began, and stopped and backed away when he saw Lutze's expression. All right, sweeper. All right. A moment later, there was the sound of jumpers slamming into place. Lobsang called out another set of numbers. While the monks dashed to and fro to the butter pits for grease, Lutze watched the nearest column. It was still spinning fast, but he was sure he could see the carvings. Lobsang ran his eye over the board again and stared up at the rumbling cylinders and then back to the lines of shutters. There wasn't anything written down about all this, Lutze knew. You couldn't teach it in a classroom, although they tried. A good spin driver learned it through the soles of his feet for all the theories that they taught you these days. He'd learn to feel the flows, to see the rows of procrastinators as wells or fountains of time. Old Choblang had been so good that he'd been able to pull a couple of hours of wasted time from a classroom of bored pupils without their even noticing, and dump it into a busy workshop 1,000 miles away as neat as you pleased. And then there was that trick he used to do with an apple to amaze the apprentices. He'd put it on a pillar next to them, and then flick time at it off one of the small spindles. In an instant, it'd be a collection of small spindly trees before crumbling to dust. That's what'll happen to you if you get things wrong, he'd said. Lutze glanced down at the pile of grey dust under the disintegrating hat as he hurried past. Well, maybe it was the way he'd want to go. A scream of tormented stone made him look up. Keep those bearings greased, you lazy devils, he yelled, running down the rows. And watch those rails! Hands off the splines, we're doing fine! As he ran, he kept his eyes on the columns. They were no longer turning randomly. Now they had a purpose. I think you're winning, lad, he shouted to the figure on the podium. Yes, but I can't balance it. There's too much time wound up and nowhere to put it. How much? Almost 40 years. Lutze glanced at the shutters. 40 years looked about right, but surely... How much? He said. 40, I'm sorry, there's nothing to take it up. No problem, steal it. Shed load, we can always pull it back later. Dump it. Where? Find a big patch of sea. The sweeper pointed to a crude map of the world painted on the wall. Do you know how to... Can you see how to give it the right spin and direction? Once again, there was the blueness in the air. Yes, I think so. Yes, I imagine you do. In your own time, then. Lutze shook his head. 40 years? He was worried about 40 years. 40 years was nothing. Apprentice drivers had dumped 50,000 years before now. That was the thing about the sea. It just stayed big and wet. It had always been big and wet. It would always be big and wet. Though maybe fishermen would start to dredge up strange whiskery fish that they'd only ever seen before as fossils. But who cared what happened to a bunch of codfish? The sound changed. What are you doing? I found space on number 422. It can take another 40 years. No sense in wasting time. I'm pulling it back now. There was another change of tone. Got it? I'm sure I've got it. Some of the bigger cylinders were already slowing to a halt. Lobsang was moving pegs around the board now, faster than the bewildered Lutze could follow. And overhead the shutters were slamming back, one after another, showing age-blackened wood instead of colour. No one could be that accurate, could they? You're down to months now, lad. Months, he shouted. Keep it up. No, blimey, you're down to days. Days! Keep an eye on me. The sweeper ran towards the end of the hall to where the procrastinators were smaller. Time was fine-tuned here on cylinders of chalk and wood and other short-lived materials. To his amazement, some of them were already slowing. He raced down an aisle of oak columns a few feet high, but even the procrastinators that could wind time in hours and minutes were falling silent. There was a squeaking noise. Beside him, one final little chalk cylinder at the end of a row rattled around on its bearing like a spinning top. Lutze crept towards it, staring at it intently, one hand raised. The squeaking was the only sound now, apart from the occasional clink of cooling bearings. Nearly there, he called out. Slowing down now, wait for it.